The Sleeping Beauties and Other Stories of Mystery Illness, written and read by Suzanne O'Sullivan. To try to understand the experience of another, it is necessary to dismantle the world as seen from one's own place within it and to reassemble it as seen from his. John Berger, The Seventh Man, 1975. Preface: The Mystery Illness. Mystery. Anything that is kept secret or remains unexplained or unknown. I first heard about it from a news website in late 2017. The article, headlined Sweden's Mystery Illness, told the story of Sophie, a 9-year-old girl who had fallen into a lifeless, unresponsive state more than a year before. Sophie couldn't move or communicate. She couldn't eat or even open her eyes. In fact, for a very long time, all she had done was to lie completely still, showing no indication of knowing day from night. The article included a picture of Sophie. It showed her wrapped in a pink blanket, pinned to the yellow-striped wallpaper behind her, were a child's drawings. Hers, probably, from an earlier time. She was not in hospital. This was her own bed in her own bedroom. Despite her unresponsive state, medical tests suggested that her brain was healthy. Rather than explaining the coma, her scans said she was not in one at all. With nothing to actively treat, the doctors had sent her home to be cared for by her family, and there she lay, many months later, getting neither better nor worse. Although the headline made it sound as if Sophie's illness was a complete enigma, the body of the article suggested that the cause was not entirely unknown. Sophie had entered Sweden as an asylum seeker. In her home country of Russia, her family had been subject to persecution by the local mafia. Sophie had seen her mother beaten and her father seized by police. Her illness had started very soon after she and her family had fled Russia and entered Sweden. With good reason, her doctors assumed that the illness had a psychological cause. As a neurologist, I am familiar with the power of the mind over the body, more than most doctors, perhaps. I regularly see patients lose consciousness through a psychological mechanism rather than as a disease process. I would not consider this phenomenon to be at all rare or even unusual. At least a quarter of those referred to me with seizures, many of whom believe they have epilepsy, proved to be suffering from dissociative or psychosomatic seizures. Those high numbers are not specific to my clinical practice. Up to a third of people attending any neurology clinic have a medical complaint that is likely to be psychosomatic in nature, meaning real physical symptoms that are disabling, but which are not due to a disease and are understood to have a psychological or behavioral cause. Paralysis, blindness, headache, dizziness, coma, tremor, or any other symptom or disability one can imagine has the potential to be psychosomatic. And of course, it's not just a neurological phenomenon. Any organ in the body can be affected, and almost any symptom can be generated in this way. Skin rashes, breathlessness, chest pain, palpitations, bladder problems, diarrhea, stomach cramps, and on and on. Despite the ubiquitous nature of these disorders, many people still doubt them, considering them somehow less real than other sorts of medical problems. I admit I struggle to see where this underestimation comes from. I'm aware of all the ways in which my own body speaks for me, often unbidden. My posture changes with my mood. Poorly controlled facial expressions inadvertently reveal my opinion to others, even when I don't intend it. It doesn't seem a stretch, therefore, to suggest this embodiment of a person's inner world has the potential to extend into illness. That the body is the mouthpiece of the mind seems self-evident to me, but I have the sense that not everybody feels the connection between bodily changes and the contents of their thoughts as vividly as I do. So, when a child becomes catatonic, in the context of stresses of the most extreme sort, people are amazed and perplexed. Perhaps it is not so surprising that the general population undervalues psychosomatic disorders, if you consider for how long they were neglected by doctors and scientists. For most of the 20th century, neurological psychosomatic disorders under the names hysteria and conversion disorder were still viewed through a Freudian lens. In Studies on Hysteria, his seminal work on the subject,